guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Kia ora, Justine, how are you?
Morning, Rachel, I'm good, how are you?
I am also very well. We've got some questions from the listeners, so let's dive straight in with a big one. A big one from someone who says, what to do when your collective agreement kind of sucks? Our rostering is totally cooked. I've been put on night shifts so often this month. I'm exhausted, and I know it's really common experience in my workplace, but technically the regularity of these shifts is within the terms of our collective agreement. My understanding is that the frequency with which I've had to do these shifts is the last resort, but it's such a common experience, it feels like the agreement's not working well for us. I'm new to the job and I'm new to unionized workplaces, so not sure what the best approach is.
So that's a really, really good question. I would say firstly that if it's supposed to be a last resort but it's a common experience, that I would really recommend that you and your co-workers flag that to the union ASAP and get that on the agenda for, because in a unionized workplace there are regular sort of meetings with management and unions where issues are sort of relayed from, you know, the floor up. And so I would definitely all flag that. I would, you know, I would get everybody who's concerned about that to flag that to the union.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is collective agreements are, you know, created through a democratic process. So, you're new, so you probably haven't experienced this yet. But what's really awesome about a collective agreement is when they are expiring, the union goes around and collects claims. So basically they'll go around and ask you what you think and what you need, what you want in your new collective agreement. And they also are people on the bargaining team from your workplace who negotiate with the, you know, official union rep. So so basically that process, that claims process where you put forward what you want in your new contract is a really good space to maybe work out a better way, what a better thing, you know, a better clause in your contract around your shifts, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So my advice would be call the union. Get yourself involved, and when that claims process comes around, definitely put that in as well.
This is actually kind of related to a question someone's just texted through, asking what does collective bargaining actually ensure you get?
It ensures you get whatever you fight for. And you know, if you're it depends how many people are in the union. Basically, you know, there are collective agreements where a worksite has maybe 40% of people in the union, and you know, you have less power in a place where you're only 40% unionized than say at the hospital where there's 90% of employees in the union.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a little bit more power in terms of what they're negotiating. But it's a democratic process. So, you know, the unions will go around being like, what do you want to see in your contract?
Yeah.
And there are people who are elected onto the bargaining team by members who also represent you. So it's all sort of a very transparent process and should be a very involved process, basically.
We've got a question from someone who says, I've been made redundant and finished soon. Luckily, I have compensation agreed. Should I get an employer contribution to my KiwiSaver on compensation?
So because redundancy isn't like mandated within the law, it should be in your employment contract. It's really what you negotiate. So if you want to negotiate that, if you want to try and negotiate that, then I think it's worth a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there's nothing mandated by sort of law around redundancy. Yeah.
So it sounds like if you've got a good employer and you're having that nice conversation about it, then maybe that is something you can angle for there. Totally.
Absolutely.
Someone said, Justine, is it my right to know what salary band I'm in?
Yes, you should ask, but some workplaces don't have salary bands. They just sort of arbitrarily, which is a problem. So if you're on a collective agreement, by the way, you'll absolutely know what salary band you're in because it's all written down in public information. Right is maybe a bit of a strong word, so the employer might just deny that there is one, even though there is one.
Mm-hmm.
I always recommend having these conversations with your coworkers, right? Because the only people who benefit from, you know, your wages being kept a secret is management.
Mm-hmm.
So I always recommend first having those conversations with your coworkers. And you know, I know some people get kind of antsy about that kind of stuff, but it's a really important thing to normalise, I think, having those open and transparent conversations. And definitely something I would also ask your boss, yeah.
Right, there you go. We've got a question from someone who says, I work in hospo and my co-worker and my manager hooked up a while ago. I'm now dating said co-worker, brackets lol, and my manager, this is the not lol bit of the story, and my manager now treats me really badly and is being a real dick. What do I do? Lol, 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 lol. So, solidarity to this person.
Absolutely, solidarity to this person. That sounds like a mess. I would have a conversation with the manager, with a support person, kind of just setting a boundary about a professional relationship, and the fact that your personal life should not, you know, impact how you're treated at work. If anything would happen, if your manager took any kind of disciplinary or any kind of action against you, that would be completely illegal, and mm-hmm. you would have grounds for a personal grievance. So I think just setting up that boundary nice and firm with your manager and being absolutely clear about your expectations, and maybe even saying, you know, like, this is serious, like, you can't do this kind of thing in the workplace,
yeah.
regardless of what's happening in your personal life, is a good idea, and I would bring a support person.
Cool.
And you can have anybody as your support person.
Excellent. Oh, that's some good advice there. Well, our last question this morning is also a bit of a lol, although I'm not lolling at that person's stressful work situation. That does sound awful. But this person has said, the neighbourhood cats keep wandering into the bar where I work. Don't get me wrong, I love cats, but one time there was a gig and a cat walked in and started licking its butt right in front of the singer. Could health and safety get us for this? My boss doesn't seem to care, and to be honest, I quite like the cats being here.
Okay. I gotta take my, like, union hat off right now and just say that this cat has to stay. I can't go anywhere. This is an important part of the experience. Okay, putting my union hat back on. Look, as long as you're not serving food, and the cat's not getting involved with, like, I don't know, putting its paws in, like, the drink or, like, anything food-related, I think you're okay. You know, like, health and safety is all about what the risks are, right?
Yeah.
And mitigating risks. And from, you know, my point of view, I would say that there's little risk with the cat, you know, as long as you're not preparing food.
There you go.
I'm supporting the cat.
So pro cats in this workplace. Thank you, Justine, for your answers this morning. Really appreciate that. It's always great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again in a fortnight.
Cheers. Okay.
Bye.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
Thank you very much.